Private control of land use. The most common private controls of land use are deed covenants, conditions, and restrictions, CC and Rs, and property owner association, POA, regulations. The style and appearance requirements of improvements are set by covenants, garages facing the rear of the property, etc. CC and RS are found in a recorded document called a declaration of restrictions and are imposed by the grantor, who is usually the subdivision developer. Violation can result in a civil court action brought by other property owners who are bound by the same deed restrictions. The court will issue an injunction to enforce the restrictions. In some cases, both deed restrictions and zoning can exist. If this is true, whichever is the most restrictive or limiting must be obeyed. Deed restrictions are usually permanent and, in most cases, do not expire. They control the present and future owners and tenants. Water rights. The state of Texas owns all surface water from Texas rivers, streams, and impoundments within its boundaries. It allows the public its usage with the proper permissions. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, TCEQ, is the governing body in Texas. In Texas, groundwater is owned and regulated by the property owner, who can sell, pump, or lease it. The Texas legislature acknowledged private ownership of percolating groundwater in legislation passed in 1949 and again in 1985, when it authorized the establishment of underground water conservation districts. These districts generally have the authority to promulgate rules for conserving, protecting, recharging, and preventing the waste of underground water. Riparian rights are the rights an owner has to use water from a river or a stream on or next to a property. Littoral rights are the right to use water from a lake, ocean, or sea on or next to property. The water may be used for domestic purposes and may not be contaminated. The flow of the water may not be interrupted. The right to use water is a valuable asset. In many states, it is not an automatic right. These rights do not allow a claim of ownership of the water, and the state may refuse to grant water rights if there is a scarcity or shortage of water. For non-navigable waters, landowners may own to the middle of the body of water. For navigable waters, landowners own up to the vegetation line. In Texas, the state owns most surface water. As such, it retains the right to refuse to grant water rights, which may be exercised when water is scarce or there is a water shortage. Landowners with non-navigable waterfront property may own up to the middle of a body of water. Landowners with navigable waterfront property owners may own up to the vegetation line. The state owns all navigable water, so building piers will not extend an owner's property line. Several words are used to describe the effect of water on land. These words and brief definitions are given below. Ak Kri Shun, addition to the land by the action of water. Soil or rock is built up by the water. It is further described as alluvion or relic shun. Alluvion, the soil added to the land by the accretion. Avulsion, water washes away the land from one property and deposits it on another. Avulsion can be accomplished by the change in the direction of a river or a stream. Reliction, water recedes and dry land appears. A seller of coastal property abutting tidally influenced water must provide the notice regarding coastal area property. This notice informs buyers that owners may gain or lose portions of the land due to the actions of water. A seller who sells property located seaward of the Gulf Intracoastal Waterway must disclose that structures must not be erected seaward of the vegetation line. If a structure is erected seaward of that line, or becomes seaward due to natural causes, the structure would be subject to a lawsuit by the state of Texas for removal. Prior appropriation is a theory of water law based on the idea that first in time is first in right. The first landowner to claim riparian rights has the exclusive right to take all the water for specific beneficial uses. Subsequent owners of nearby properties cannot claim water rights. Water rights acquired under this theory are referred to as appropriative rights. Appurtenances. An appurtenance is a right, privilege, or improvement that belongs to and passes with land, but is not necessarily a part of the land. Appurtenances are assumed to pass to the buyer when a property is sold. Examples of appurtenances include easements, leases that are binding on a new owner when the property is sold, fixtures, buildings and other improvements, encroachments. The intrusion of one's property onto another's property creates an encroachment. A neighbor's fence that crosses a boundary or tree limbs extending over a boundary are examples of encroachments. Encroachments must always be disclosed. A survey is required to determine if an encroachment exists. Mineral rights. The laws relating to the ownership of minerals vary from state to state. The general rule is that the minerals under a tract of land belong to the surface owner unless a mineral interest has been transferred to another. Ownership of minerals includes the right to enter the land and explore for and recover oil, gas, gold, and other minerals. The right to drill may be regulated by state and local ordinances and/or covenants, conditions, and restrictions in a subdivision. As mentioned previously, the fee simple owner's interest extends from the surface to the center of the earth. Mineral interests are said to be severable, meaning that the mineral ownership can be transferred to somebody other than the owner of the surface. This severance can occur through a conveyance using a mineral deed, or it can be accomplished through a reservation in a deed. Mineral interests may also be transferred to a beneficiary in a will. When conveyed by a mineral deed, the grantor conveys a mineral interest to the grantee. There is no requirement to convey a part of the surface along with the mineral interest. In most states, the rights associated with a mineral interest include limited use of the surface for the purpose of exploration and extraction. In many transactions, the seller retains a mineral interest in the property being sold with a reservation in the deed. For example, a seller may convey a tract of land to another subject to a reservation of one half of the oil, gas, and other minerals in and under the property. Whether by deed or by reservation, a conveyance of the mineral estate separate from the surface estate creates a split in the chain of title. A title examiner must follow the future conveyances of the surface and all mineral interests in order to establish legal ownership of the property. Some states place restrictions on the term of a mineral reservation and require that the property be drilled or explored within a certain period. If the mineral owner fails to comply, the mineral interest may revert to the owner of the surface. Because the oil and gas business is prevalent in Texas, and the subsurface estate is the dominant estate in the state, many questions may arise regarding mineral interests and land rights. The following information has been adapted from an article in the Texas REALTOR. A mineral interest is part of the ownership rights related to owning real property. The owner of a mineral interest owns all or part of the mineral estate. The owner of the mineral estate typically holds the right to search for, develop, and produce minerals from the property. A mineral interest can be severed from the surface rights. It can be sold or leased separately from the surface once severed from it. Usually, the owner of the mineral estate holds the right to use the surface to the extent that it is reasonably necessary to extract the minerals, implied easement. There may be multiple owners of the mineral interests, and each mineral interest holder may have different rights. The holders of the mineral interest together own the mineral estate. Owners of the mineral estate may sign an agreement with a producer or operator to lease land for the search and production of minerals, including oil and gas. In exchange for compensation specified in the lease, the lessee is given the right to search for, develop, and produce the oil and gas or minerals. The lease can encompass the right to work all the minerals or only those specified in the lease. Owners of the mineral estate derive the power to lease the minerals under their executive rights. It is often severed when the mineral estate is sold to multiple parties. For example, if a person sells half of the mineral estate to another, the seller may decide to retain the power to lease the entire mineral estate at his discretion. Under this example, the other mineral interest owners would not be able to participate in the decision to lease the minerals. An exception relating to a mineral interest is a right that relates to a specific property but is held by another person who may not be a party to the contract to sell a property or a mineral interest. For example, a seller of real property may sell the property with the exception that some other person already owns one half of the mineral interests. This other person is usually identified somewhere in the chain of title. A reservation, as it relates to a mineral interest, is the retention of rights in the property by the seller. For example, the seller may sell a property but may reserve to himself, or others, one half of the mineral interest in the property. Under this example, one half of the mineral interests are severed from the property, assuming that the seller owned all of the mineral interests before agreeing to sell. Landowners should determine the extent of the mineral or royalty interests they own. Determining the precise extent of ownership of the mineral estate requires a review of the chain of title of the property in question. Experts in this field are called landmen. Owners may also consult with an oil and gas attorney. Some title companies may, for a fee, provide this service. Buyers and sellers may negotiate provisions in a reservation clause. For example, will the seller retain all or just a specific portion of the mineral estate? Will the seller reserve all minerals or only certain minerals? Will the seller retain all executive rights? Will there be any limitations on drilling? If the reservation clause involves anything more than a very basic reservation clause, the broker will likely need to suggest that the parties seek the assistance of counsel who can draft an appropriate addendum to the contract. A broker will not want to risk the unauthorized practice of law by drafting a complex legal clause or addendum. The Texas Railroad Commission controls all drilling for oil and gas in the state. It regulates all drilling activity in the state. Most exploration companies, as well as some title companies, utilize professionals called landmen or a landman. Many of these landmen are independent contractors who do freelance work or may be salaried employees working for the exploration company. Their job is to research ownership of all the mineral estate. To accomplish this, they may pull all the deeds on a property back to the sovereignty to determine the ownership of the minerals. They may also research old or present lease agreements on the land to determine ownership. Surface waiver could be used if there is no present lease in place and the seller owns the mineral estate. The waiver promises the seller will not drill on the property as described, but allows him to join a pool and enjoy royalties. The waiver protects the buyer from any production on the property. This waiver will survive the closing, so it becomes a restriction on the property in the deed. Designated drill sites may be used if there is no lease in place at the time of the sale to the buyer. This designates mutually agreed to drill sites that can only be used by the exploration company in case they want to drill. Minerals in steps, i.e., the buyer gains so much of the minerals in a period. For example, the buyer is granted 10% of the entire estate each year for 10 years. Mineral estate in a life estate. When the seller dies, the minerals convey to the buyer. The agent should educate his or her clients on the mineral issue and take the proper steps prior to the expiration of the option period. These steps should include having a professional research the deed of the property in question in order to determine ownership of the minerals. Determining what the client wants. Requesting the client's wants in the offer or through other means, always in writing. Negotiating with the seller during the option period. Wind rights. Everyone knows that Texas is a major player in the energy market. In addition to the oil and gas business, Texas leads the country in harnessing renewable wind energy. Farm owners with extensive acreage may lease their land to wind developers who build turbines on the property in order to convert the wind into energy. Due to the popularity and need for renewable energy sources, many questions have arisen concerning wind rights. Who really owns the wind, and are these rights severable in the same manner that mineral and water rights are severable? These are questions that have no easy answer.